Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there was darkness in all the land. It was a time of distress. The Bible tells us that they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. For 3 days, there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. This was about 3,500 years ago, 14 and a half centuries before the time of Jesus Christ. This was the ninth plague, the plague just before the 10th plague and the release of the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt by the Exodus. It was dark throughout the land of Egypt. God had abandoned the Egyptians to darkness. They were in spiritual darkness, not acknowledging the God who had created them, and now they were in physical darkness. But in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel lived, there was light. The children of Israel were not afflicted with the darkness. The people of God, those born into the covenant people of Israel, had light because God was with them. God knew where his people were, and he provided for them. About 1,500 years after the Exodus, Jesus Christ was on the cross, dying from crucifixion. Again, there was darkness in the land. The evangelist St. Luke tells us that the darkness covered the entire earth from noon until 3 o'clock p.m. The darkness was physical, but it represented the spiritual darkness of an earth corrupted by sin and a humanity separated from God. Where was God at this time? Where were the children of God, those who believed in him and trusted him for their salvation? Where was the light showing us that God was still in control of this world and the next, taking care of his own? We certainly can't consider the soldiers, the rabble, the chief priests, or the elders to have been in the light. Even the disciples couldn't be counted as being in the light. They had abandoned their Lord and Savior, fleeing for dear life when Jesus was captured by the temple police. The women watching from a distance are not in the light. They simply wanted to find out where Jesus was buried so that they could finish the proper burial customs. It looks like there is no place where we can find light. The entire earth is dark. There is no light. But what about Jesus Christ? He was indeed the true light that was to come into the world. But he was as much in the darkness as anyone else. Or perhaps better, he was even more in the darkness than anyone. The darkness that covered the entire earth also covered him. He was so far from the light that he screamed out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When Jesus Christ called out thus, his was not a metaphorical forsakenness. This was not simply a down-in-the-dumps day. This wasn't a, I've got 3 days to finish my paper and now I have a bunch of unexpected assigned reading to finish kind of day. God had completely abandoned Jesus Christ, abandoned him to hell, given him over to an existence without God, without the tiniest glimmer of light. And yet, paradoxically, there in the blackness of Jesus' death, we do see a glimmer of light. Isaiah wrote, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was in great darkness, was forsaken and abandoned by God, not on his own account, but on our account. Jesus Christ was our substitute. When he was wounded for our transgressions, he received the wounding we should have received, taking that wounding in our place. When he was bruised for our iniquities, he received the bruising we should have had, being bruised in our place. We are, therefore, no more in line to receive the same. Jesus Christ has taken the punishment intended for us. Jesus went to hell so that we can go to heaven. This seems to be a colossal inequity on God's part. Yet Isaiah tells us it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God was pleased to put all of our sins on his only begotten Son because God knew that we were not capable of atoning for our own sins. We could suffer as much as Jesus Christ did. We could hurt as much as Jesus Christ did. But this would not succeed in atoning for our own sins, let alone the sins of anyone else. But we don't need to suffer to atone for our sins. Jesus has done it in our place. In the darkness of Jesus' death, we find light. This light is only visible to eyes of faith, to those to whom God has revealed it. For physical eyes can only see a pitiful, dying body enveloped in darkness, the same darkness that envelops the entire world. Only eyes of faith see our own light in the dying Jesus Christ. St. Luke tells us that when Jesus died, he breathed out the Spirit. This expression is used in the Gospels only of our Lord Jesus and his death. Left unanswered is the question, what Spirit? Is the Spirit the one that every living being has, the Spirit that departs when one dies, or is it the Holy Spirit? The verb certainly means what we say with the verb expire, but there may be the hint of the Holy Spirit here. Undoubtedly, however, our Lord has never left his own defenseless against Satan, the evil one. Even though our Lord would pour out the Holy Spirit fully and richly on Pentecost, as we celebrated just a few days ago, the Holy Spirit has always been present to lead his people into the truth. The Spirit of God is the one who created and formed the faith of Justin Martyr, whom we commemorate today. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who continues to create and form the faith of all who have been baptized, of all who see in the darkness of Jesus' death on the cross the true light of their forgiveness of sins. In the name of the